Okay, you can open your eyes now. Actually, if I have to explain a little bit about this rising and falling practice, so this is one of the very commonly used practice to develop mindfulness. You know, this is first actually introduced by Most Venerable Mahasi Sayadaw, so in Burma, and then it was transferred from generation to generation, from Sayadaw to Sayadaw. Actually, from Mahasi Sayadaw to the Sayadaw Pandita, that is Pandita Abhivansa Sayadaw, and then it came to even Sri Lanka, and now there are many practitioners using this technique to develop mindfulness. So this is in a way quite easy technique, because sometimes people feel that breath is not that comfortable, or breath is very subtle. They can't feel it. For a beginner, sometimes being mindful about the breath could be difficult. But on the other hand, this being mindful about rising and falling comes as a very easy practice. It's very common. And even for young people, even for children, this can be used. Actually, now they have introduced keeping a little toy or doll on one's tummy while on the lying down position, and then being aware of how this toy going up and down. That is actually a kind of a little creativity connected with this rising and falling practice. And on the other hand, if you still can't feel any rising and falling, probably you can keep your palm, your left palm or right palm, to your tummy or onto your abdomen, and simply being aware how kind of a little motion, little movement happens in your arm. So you are naturally breathing, and as you're breathing in, so the arm little move forward, and as you breathe out, arm comes back. So without the arm, still you can feel that the, as you're breathing in, the whole tummy, or the, especially the abdomen, is coming down, coming forward, going forward as you're breathing in. And as you breathe out, it comes back. And there are various sensations actually attached to this whole practice. I mean, before going there, actually, we can, even while you are doing this practice, if you feel that the mind wanders, probably you can introduce knotting. Sometimes we call it as labeling. So as you feel rising, so then you are mentally verbalizing it as rising. Simple word, simply you are noting it as rising. And as you feel that the abdomen is coming back, then you are noting it as falling. Very gently, without disturbing this whole process, you are simply noting it as rising, falling. Rising, falling. So it is kind of an acknowledgement. So physically you feel it, you sense it. At the same time, mentally you are seconding it. Mentally you acknowledge it. So this actually sort of balances the whole process. This actually somewhat coordinate the whole process, because sometimes if the body is doing one thing and mentally we are doing something else. But right now we need to somewhat synchronize these both processes. Bodily we are observing and we are experiencing some activity. At the same time, mentally we are appreciating, we are acknowledging that same activity. So the mental acknowledgement and the physical movement, physical process are hand in hand. Both are acknowledging each other. So this actually synchronizes the whole process, and it really contributes to develop mindfulness. So Therefore, it is commonly used, especially in Burma. If you visit Burma nowadays, only very rarely people will teach Anapanasati. Instead, there are many places rising and falling practice has given more prominence. So, as you are able to establish mindfulness using this little technique, then probably you can stop noting that, that is the verbalizing, rising and falling. You can simply stop that and simply be aware whether you can really feel rising, whether you can really feel falling. So there is no any mental verbalizing, any labeling, any noting as such, but rather the mind is very quiet, but you are experiencing rising. You are feeling the falling. The whole process you can feel, you can sense. You don't need to make any kind of a artificial effort for doing that. Simply you are being aware. Now the body is breathing in. Now the body is breathing out. As you're breathing in, your tummy, your abdomen coming little forward. As you're breathing out, your tummy, your abdomen coming backward. So this rising and falling, these are two very little fundamental processes available in our body, which can be easily used to develop mindfulness. And assume that now you are comfortable in this practice. Now you are able to be mindful about this rising and falling, say 50 rising and falling consecutively without much distraction. So this is possible. At the beginning, it is not possible because your mind wanders. But as you practice, slowly, slowly, you will get the skill. Slowly, slowly, you will understand I can maintain attention towards this process, even though at the beginning it appears like very boring because it's not kind of an exciting practice. It's not kind of an exciting experience, extremely joyful experience that you are going through. Rather, it's a very ordinary practice, very ordinary incident, ordinary experience that we are utilizing to develop mindfulness. But as you are able to coming back to this process again and again, give some prominence to this process, purposely appreciating this whole process, appreciating this simplicity, then in the long run, say after a couple of weeks, you will notice you can be aware of this whole process. Your mind very rarely wanders. So mind, even if it wanders, it may quickly comes back. You don't need to struggle to take it back. Rather, mind itself has found a being with this little process is comfortable. And there is no much tension. There is no any kind of stress related to this process. Rather, even if there was a stress, because of this practice, this stress will be reduced. The stress will be go away. Because this whole process takes us back to ourselves. And again, there's another added advantage. Now, since you are keeping your attention to the body, actually below the neck, you are coming to the tummy, coming to the lower half of the body. So it is more and more settling. You know, our mind usually does not settle. Rather, it likes traction. Rather, it likes jumping here and there. But this little practice brings us back to ourselves. Take us back. Take the focus to our body. So it is coming back home. Coming back to ourselves. Understanding the body. Being with our body. Being with ourselves. Appreciating this whole system. This factory. What we call as body. So likewise, it's a very promoting practice, very interesting practice. And as we progress, as I said, we can simply discard noting. Rather, we can simply quietly be aware of this whole process. As we are continuing, then we will understand there are rising, there are falling, again there are rising, again there is a falling. But there may be little differences. Rising and falling is not very similar. Rising and falling has differences. Say, for example, during the rising, the movement happened towards the forward direction. Obviously, as if falling, the movement happens in the opposite direction. Maybe when during the rising, you might feel little tension at the end, kind of a thrusting, kind of a stiffness at the end. On the other hand, when it is coming back during the falling cycle, it could be a little relaxing. It could be a little lighter when compared with the rising process. So the falling process has some comfort, ease, kind of a coming back, relaxing. So these are little changes, differences that you can experience. Now we are introducing actually some attributes of mindfulness to this whole process. At the beginning, we simply establish mindfulness, but later, slowly, we are somewhat refining the whole process, fine-tuning the whole process, so that now we are trying to contribute towards the clear comprehension, sampajanya. Yeah, we can distinctly recognize what are the qualities or what are the characteristics of rising and what are the characteristics of falling. There may be differences in these two processes, and we are recognizing what are these differences. And then suppose as the rising happens, there are little rising. It may not be single rising. It may be a combination or collection of little risings. And even before the beginning of falling, there could be a kind of a resting period. Very couple of seconds maybe, kind of a resting period. Still the rising, the falling didn't begin, but there's a resting. And now the falling cycle begins. And now you can understand, okay, there are many fallings. It's not just a one single falling, but it's a combination of little fallings. And as all fallings finish, there's a kind of again, kind of a resting period. It is not an immediate starting of the rising cycle, next rising cycle, rather there's a kind of a rest. So you can even feel this, how the whole process sort of improves. And after this little pause, now next rising cycle begins. So we are consciously be aware of this whole process. So it is coming back to ourselves, since it's a very natural, very easy, very simple process, and it is readily available for us. So it is extremely relaxing, extremely contributing to the mindfulness. And later, actually, we can distinctly know various element characteristics. So there are sort of progressive stages to this whole practice. I'm just encouraging you, especially feel that breathing practices could be difficult, might be difficult, you can easily teach this rising and falling, and you can continue in this practice. But on the other hand, it does not mean that if you are very comfortable and you are successful breathing practice, so stick to that. You don't need to switch to rising and falling. But for the people who are not comfortable with breathing, anapanasati, probably you can try rising and falling. I was keeping my attention on rising, so I felt like this. Then I am keeping my attention on falling, so I felt like this. And suppose I was able to continue that for several cycles, you can indicate how many. And suppose now my mind has shifted, my mind has distracted, so you have to honestly write it. It is your own experience. No need to, there is no point of copying another or imagining anything. Rather, this has to be a very experiential information. You have to really do it and then write it. There is no point of copying another person. There is no point of imagining and fabricating and writing it. Rather, you really have to do it, experience it, and then you have to write it. And you are simply writing it very honestly. Even if you didn't succeed, you simply write it. Okay, I there were many distractions. I couldn't even look at a couple of say rising and falling. My mind was so jumpy. So likewise, you can honestly write it. And then suppose, what are the distractions? Probably you can explain that. So what are the distractions? My mind so much into inner chattering, so much going to the past, so much going to the future. Future about various, say, uncertainties, a lot of doubts, what's going to happen in the future, whether the corona, the spread going to stop, all these little things, little panics in our current situation, all these things could be distractions. So you can honestly write, okay, these are the worries at the moment my mind is going through. So therefore, I couldn't much contribute today, couldn't much concentrate today. So likewise, you can honestly write. And then you can explain about working session. So actually, sitting session is one area, one stage in your, one section of your report. And then you can explain the working experience. How I did my walking. So where I did select it, how I started it. So then whether I used any kind of a noting, whether left, right, left, right, or lifting, moving, placing. So likewise, there are various techniques involved. So what is the type of practice you have undertaken? So you can simply write your experience related to the mindful walking. And on the last one is the mindful day-to-day activities. Actually, it is not only this sitting and walking. There are various other activities we can utilize to develop mindfulness. So how I was mindful while, say, doing my course, say, doing my, say, brushing the teeth, so washing the plates, so while sweeping, while washing the clothes. So likewise, there are various other activities that we are involved with. So am I in a position to utilize them sort of helpfully to my practice? So likewise, you can write a good report, and later, slowly, slowly, you will, if you collect all these reports, you can evaluate how much benefit that you have taken. I mean, you have taken because of the practice. At the beginning, how you were practicing, what was your experience, and after a couple of weeks, what are your experiences? How well you have sort of progressed in this practice. So likewise, it becomes a kind of a map for your own task. And later, it can be a kind of a reflection and a practice. So with that note, I would like to ask Chatu to continue.
Bante, hopefully you can hear me. There was some sort of disturbances, sort of slow connection. So please let me know if there's any problems. So we've got, right now we have three reflections. The first one, so we gave an opportunity to write about walking, sitting, and day-to-day practices, mindfulness practices. But this one only has sitting. So I'll read out. And actually, this one's got some questions. So I might, or sort of comments. Anyway, I'll go through it. I practiced mindful sitting with the GMS recording for 30 minutes. I think GMS means guided mindful sitting. I have some questions or clarifications. The guided part is very effective when starting the practice, since we do it in the middle of other activities. However, after some time, it felt like a distraction for me. With utmost respect to Bante, he even mentions that you may hear some noises, but don't focus on them. But I am listening to a guided session and the guide itself becomes a noise. I felt confused after that.
Yeah, actually, this is a common situation. So at the beginning, we think that we can be quickly focus where we need. But our mind is so jumpy that it is not used to this kind of a simple activity. Rather, it jumps from this to that. So therefore, we have to be very patient in handling the mind. So don't worry. And if you recognize that now the mind is not on the primary object. So that itself is mindfulness. Actually, when we are unmindful, we are not in this world. We are in a kind of a fantasy. We are in a dream. But if we are mindful, then probably you can understand, okay, I want to keep my attention on breath. I want to keep my attention on rising and falling. But right now, mind is not there. Right now, my attention is on something else. So that is, that understanding is kind of an establishment of mindfulness. Once you know that the mind has drifted, then there's a possibility of coming back to where you want. So now you are acknowledging it. Now you are recognizing. Now the mind has shifted. Now slowly, without making any tension, slowly bring it back to where it is necessary. Suppose while walking, your mind has distracted to something you have seen and you recognize. Probably you might have lost for a couple of seconds, even a couple of minutes. But later, once the mindfulness has established, you know, I want to keep my attention on this left foot, right foot, or soles, or various sensations which I encounter while walking. But right now, my mind has totally drifted towards what I have seen. So that is the establishment of mindfulness. And later, once you recognize that, then slowly bring it back. Don't blame yourself. Don't regret about what has happened. Slowly bring it back and then continue your practice. Very much like nothing has happened. Because the point is, if you start to regret on what has happened, then you are actually adding towards what has happened. That is unnecessary contribution that we sometimes do. Because of some our own tendency in our mind, there could be a distraction. That is all right. But once we recognize it, so no point of regretting. Rather, we have to immediately, as soon as possible, we have to come back to where we want. So then actually we are not much losing the track. Rather, immediately we have established mindfulness on where we want. And now we are continuing.
Yeah. Okay. So the second question, while I am trying to follow the very basic instruction of focusing on the breath, I have difficulty of doing it. Then I get a thought that I must write this in the reflection. After that, for the rest of the practice, I'm thinking of what to write in the reflection. How do I overcome this?
Yeah, that is also a very common question because actually you can understand how tricky our mind is. It's like a child. So when we are practicing, now it is planning how I am going to write the report, how I am going to sort of write down my own experience, what are the sort of words I am going to use, whether the teacher is going to blame me, whether the others might laugh me, whether others might think that I am not a good practitioner. All these are nonsense. Actually, our mind is adding. But once we know that, then we know, okay, this mind is still like a child. It is not trained yet. It is not tamed yet. It is not matured. So you simply acknowledge that we become very ground to earth, down to earth. And then we are like children. Because we understand, okay, still this mind is like this. So I have to sort of take care of it. I have to look after it. And again, I have to grow it. I have to take in a proper direction so that I will be in a good position to control the mind or to handle the mind. So these are all sort of awakenings, sort of understandings about our own situation. And then coming back to the practice, simply, and then again coming back to the practice and again doing a couple of breaths, or again doing rising and falling. Suppose after 5 breaths, after 5 rising and fallings, again mind distracts. Again it is planning about report writing. Nothing to worry. Don't worry. Again come back. You simply recognize, okay, again the mind is planning. Again simply you let it go and come back to the primary object.
So, so this, the third,
kind of a trial is like very much difficult. But slowly, you will succeed in this whole process.
So the third question, another question I have is initially for, initially in the guidance, Bhante mentions that you have to keep your back straight and sit comfortably, etc. However, after some time, the body starts to shift. Initially, you're not aware of this because you're trying to focus on breathing. However, when your mind starts to wander, the first thing you notice is that you are in an uncomfortable position or that the initial posture that you sat has changed. I wasn't sure what to do. Should we change the posture to a more comfortable one? Should I just keep going even though it is painful and uncomfortable to stay like that? If I try to make changes to the posture, will that break my concentration on the breathing?
Yeah, actually, at the beginning, when you start your practice, it is much better to keep the back straight, head straight, neck straight, and it's a kind of an energetic position. But it actually is good for a beginner. But as you progress during the same session, once your body found the most comfortable posture, there could be some finer adjustments. So you have to allow that. Don't immediately come back to a very straight posture because then it is uncomfortable. Then you are disturbing the whole process. And simply allow the body to adjust itself so that body knows what is the most comfortable posture for this current situation. It may not be a kind of a complete collapse. It could be a slight adjustment. But suppose the body is really bending and almost like collapsed. If you are extremely mindful, even this whole process, you can even continue for a while. And if you know now it has gone too much, gone too far, probably you have to adjust yourself. But even this adjustment, you have to do carefully without disturbing the process. Because you know, sometimes this little body changes can disturb the ongoing mindfulness session if you do it abruptly, if you do it quickly. But on the other hand, if you know, even though this body right now is not in a good position, not in a sort of a best position, still I am mindful about the whole process. Still the mindfulness is growing. If you understand that, then let it be for a while. And then if you think now it is a little painful, now it is too much, now it is too bent, then slowly you can adjust without disturbing the ongoing process. Do this adjustment very slowly. And you can be aware. You can be aware of the whole process and you can do this adjustment. Actually, there are several approaches to doing this. One approach is like, say, your primary objective is, suppose, breathing, in-breath, out-breath. So while keeping your attention on in-breath and out-breath, you can slowly adjust the posture. So that is one approach. On this manner, actually, you are not losing the primary object. You are keeping constantly your attention on primary object. At the same time, on your background, you are adjusting the posture very slowly without disturbing the process, without disturbing this mindful breathing process. But you do slight adjustment to the posture. So this is one approach. Another approach is that instead of being mindful about breathing, you can simply be aware of the posture. Assume now it's in an extremely bent posture. Now you are aware of that bent posture. And now you are slowly adjusting it. Now you can be aware of now it is not too much bent. Now the body is lifting up. Now it is readjusting. So this whole adjustment, all coming back to the very comfortable posture, you are being aware, you are being extremely mindful about this whole adjustment. So once it is coming back to the necessary position, comfortable position, again you can go back to breathing. So actually now the primary object has changed from breathing to this posture, but there is no harm at all. Because for the mindfulness practice, there is no any specific object. you can shift various objects. I mean, at this level, you can do it without disturbing the progress of your mindfulness. And these are several techniques that you can utilize this during this kind of a situation. Chatu, back to you.
So that was, I'll go to the next one. There's no specific question. It's just, I guess, a report or a reflection. I used the last week's guided sitting recording, the one for 20 minutes, and used an alarm to allow an extra 10 minutes to practice mindfulness on posture while sitting. During the guided instructions, my mind was following the sensations in the areas of the body Bhante was pointing out, which gave me verification of mindfulness and the notion of here, now, I am. I tried to keep this knowing of sensations as the verification that I'm being mindful on body, and this is what I am trying to practice for the next 30 minutes. During the guided session, I was scanning these sensations on several rounds. I am now aware that there are at least 7 to 8 prominent sensations. The strongest was the pressure on the chair by my weight and the counter pressure I feel on my left and right buttocks along the thighs. The coldness of the sole of feet touching the ground, the pressure on my knees from the hands which are lying freely on top of the knees, the coldness from the air on my palms, some stiffness in my back while I have the sensation that my spine is freely upright, holding the weight of the head, some stiffness on the neck and coldness of the air when touching the tip of the nose, weight of the eyelids, breathing, inhale and exhale, air touching the nostrils. I deliberately did not focus on the most prominent sensation, but as a whole knowing on these, doesn't make much sense. I think what they meant was, but as a whole. After the guided instructions were over, I was keeping attention to these same sensations, which were more relaxed and at ease now. The body felt like a set of weight, discus on top of each other, with the previous sensation points moving and adjusting slightly to make it more comfortable. When the body was getting relaxed, I noticed some thoughts, such as, am I sitting upright or did the posture change? What should I write on the report? I was aware of these thoughts and I waited. Back to body sensations again. After 20 minutes, the bell rang in the recording and the bell did not appear as a distraction. I could hear the sound in the midst of body sensations, relaxed feelings, all in a mix of tangled sensations. It was like the mind suspended on these sensations. I could not feel exactly where these sensations were now in my body and did not try to identify them anymore. There was a bit of pain from somewhere and thoughts started appearing saying it must be from my back. I waited. Body sensations again, all tangled now with a bit of pain as well. I continued like this until 30 minutes alarm rang. Overall, it was a soothing session and I felt relaxed and refreshed.
Yeah, thank you very much for the comprehensive report. So more and more, it is very much like we are coming to the body. So you know, this is the beginning of the practice where Buddha recommends Kaya Anupassana. Because in order to develop mindfulness, Kaya Anupassana using our body is one of the very straightforward approach and it's more successful approach. So therefore, we are using various processes available in the body in order to develop mindfulness. One thing is the posture, like we discussed last time. Another thing is breathing experience. Another thing is various sensations, that is element characteristics. Another thing is that we are, say, day-to-day activities, daily we are involved with so many other activities, and even those can be utilized to contribute towards mindfulness. So actually more and more, we are coming back to ourselves, because very much like our attention is nowadays being brought out, we are being distracted. For example, suppose you are traveling by a bus, so typically there are various things outside. There are a lot of advertisements, a lot of decorations, a lot of lights, flashes and all these things, always trying to grab us, always try to distract us. And we are losing where we are. We don't know where we are, what we want to do, and where I am steering him. So all these things are actually losing the mindfulness, actually destroying mindfulness. On the other hand, when we are able to come back to ourselves, and then the available processes appear like very boring, appear like very ordinary. So that is where we think that I am not having any progress, it is not interesting, it is extremely boring, I feel sleepy, I feel drowsy. What's the point of just looking at rising and falling? What is the benefit I am getting from this? So likewise, there are so many doubts that we encounter. Actually, it's very difficult to convince ourselves at the beginning, because it's a kind of a unknown practice that right now we are trying. Therefore, we have to have a lot of faith towards the Buddha. We have to have a lot of confidence towards this practice, even though yet we haven't come across any benefit. So that is why we need a lot of rationality build up. That is why faith build up. We need a lot of confidence build up through this practice. Because at the beginning, it is almost like disappointing, almost like impossible. But slowly, as I said, you will be able to recognize there is a little progress. When I started, my mind was very, very jumpy, extremely jumpy, but I couldn't even be with several steps, couldn't be with several breaths. But right now, I am in a fairly good position. Comparatively, I have progressed. So likewise, we have to give some marks to ourselves. We have to appreciate our own effort and then continue. So, this report actually shows now you are able to establish mindfulness all around the body. So there are a lot of possibilities, a lot of sensations available in the body. Now you got to select one prominent sensation at a time and observe that very carefully. So if you have, well-focused mind, then you can carefully observe each and every sensation. Say, for example, there is a little pain on your knee. Now you can locate your attention on that place. And now we are observing it. At the beginning, there is nothing. At the beginning, it is very much like an ordinary experience. Especially the sampajanya improves, the clear comprehension improves, then you might recognize, even though it appears like a pain, as a single pain, it is not. It's a kind of a collection of little pains. So it's a kind of a resultant effect that I am noting, I am perceiving as a single pain. But it is not just a single pain. It's a combination of several little pains. So likewise, there are interesting findings. Now we have to encourage this kind of a inquiring mind. We are inquiring what is really there. So we have to introduce this attribute. It's not that we are simply being mindful in a passive way. At the beginning, we have to be very actively look at what is really going on. Now we are like a child. Say when you are bringing a toy to a child, he's very interesting of what to do. And he might even break it. He's looking at various sides. He's pressing all the buttons there. He's trying to put various other sides. It's maybe hitting it, licking it. He's trying all the possibilities to examine it. So we are like that. Now we have well-developed attention. Now mind is well focused. And now we are using this focused attention onto a selected phenomena. And now we are examining it. Very closely we are examining it. So this is what we are trying to do. Are there any more questions?
Yes, actually we received two questions just now. So the first one is on walking. Bhante, could you please comment on mindful walking in a small space? My experience was doing practice in a small room. I practiced 10 minutes at a time on the path I'm walking between a bed and a curtain. There are about 67 steps where I need to turn. My distractions were my thoughts. Also, that the curtain was rubbing against my arm as I walk, and having to turn so often. Is this a bad idea? Should I find a bigger space or simply persist?
Yeah, I mean, it is preferred if you can find a longer distance, because I mean, if for a beginner, if you have to quickly turn yourself and there are a lot of other distractions, it could be difficult. But on the other hand, for a amateur, even a little distance could be all right. I mean, if you are in a position to find a longer distance, go for that. And as you have mentioned, so there are various distractions because our eyes are open. So there's a possibility that we may get distracted on what we have seen. And we may hear various others are talking and maybe other colleagues are talking and birds are singing. Other people are shouting and a lot of distractions are there. But the challenge in the walking practice is, among these all disturbances, are we in a position to locate our attention on where we want? This is actually a challenge. Now, typically, some people tend to select sitting session than the walking, because they go to a very sophisticated area. It's a very extremely calm, very quiet place, and then they close their eyes and in a very controlled environment. That is also maybe necessary at the beginning. But and one may be able to achieve a fair amount of concentration. But on the other hand, in the walking practice, it is very open. So you have to keep your eyes open. You have to let others also to walk on your sides. And again, there may be various other distracting sounds. So among all these various other things, other activities, are we in a position to properly focus our attention on our each and every step? So this is actually like a challenge, like a sport actually. Now, it's like a sport. Among all these different activities, are we able to navigate exactly to where we want? So you will slowly succeed in this practice. Don't dishearten thinking that it's not going to work for me. Instead, try to find some sort of a joy in it. When it is succeeding, you give some marks to yourself. You would simply appreciate that among all these difficulties, I was able to keep my attention on 5 steps. On this time, okay, I was able to keep my attention on 7 steps. Comparatively, I am in a good position. Previously, I was could do only 5 steps. Now I can handle it for 7 steps. So likewise, simply appreciate what you are doing, and then slowly you will understand it's extremely an interesting practice. It's extremely interesting practice to reduce stress, because suppose you are in a very hectic situation, suppose you had a lot of troubles at your working place and you had a lot of traffic jam on your way, and now if you try to sit, your sitting session almost will be a collapse, almost an unsuccessful one. But on the other hand, rather than immediately going to a sitting session, if you simply go for a walking, simply allow the thoughts to come, doesn't matter. And slowly, you simply let go of all these thoughts. Let the mind to distract, doesn't matter. Slowly, let the mind come back to yourself. Slowly, you bring it back. So take some time, don't do it in a rush. Slowly you can understand how you are dissipating all these build-up energies. You are dissipating all these pent-up energies. You are dissipating all these build-up tensions throughout your working day. There may be a lot of tensions, a lot of stresses being built up. So now you are simply allowing to dissipate all these things. And again, slowly coming back to yourself. Chatu, back to you.
The second question we've got one there, it's a general question. I just have a question regarding the practice itself. I have this issue whenever I concentrate on any aspect of breathing, whether it be breath itself or the rising and falling of the stomach, I end up influencing the breathing pattern and it becomes uncomfortable. How do you keep the natural breathing while also focusing on it?
Yeah, actually, the best option is to let the body breathe naturally. But unfortunately, we are trying to control it. So this is a very natural thing we sometimes do. Because all these many years, we don't know that the body is breathing. Now, when we start mindful breathing, now we all of a sudden understand, okay, body is breathing. Now I want to control it. Now we are trying to control it. Now everything become kind of a mess up thing. Now these are all kind of jokes in the mindfulness practice, because all these many years, the body is breathing. There was no any issue. But when we start to know that the body is breathing, right now there's an in-breath, right now there's an out-breath. Now we are trying to put our hand to this whole process. No need at all. Actually, we don't need to put our hand as much as possible. Keep the body, let the body breathe naturally. So this, in order to come to this balanced effort, we may take some time. Don't worry. Because when we start to be mindful about breathing, so slowly we can recognize, okay, I am trying to control it. So you yourself will understand it. And once you recognize that I am controlling it, later you will understand it is not necessary. I am adding some unnecessary friction towards this natural process. Now you recognize it. And then you need to understand, how can I take my hand out? How can I let the process happen by itself? Because you don't need to contribute anything for this natural process, because body knows how to breathe. It's a kind of an endowment. It's a kind of a natural process. And we don't need to teach the body how to breathe. It may know it from the beginning. So we simply take our hand out, let the body breathe naturally. So this kind of natural breathing, and we are simply as an outsider looking at this breathing, actually is a very beautiful process. Because once we know this balance, once we understand how we can simply let the body to breathe at the same time, like being mindful. So this kind of balance is extremely beautiful. It may take some time to come to this balance. So don't worry about that. Slowly, slowly, you will reach this very balanced effort. At the beginning, we may have some excess effort, but later we can optimize it and come to a position where we are introducing only a necessary amount of effort. Because this balancing effort is one of the key feature in our practice. Because if we are not doing this balancing during the practice, then we may be we are in a kind of a constant struggle. But instead, if we know that I am contributing too much, I am stressing it, I am putting additional effort, I am putting excess effort. So if I know that, then simply you have to adjust it. It's like you are while driving, if you understand that you are giving too much gas, then you have to simply reduce it. You have to lift your leg, so that it may in a very smooth driving position. So likewise, you have to recognize, how is the meditation going on right now? Am I putting too much effort? If so, you have to optimize it. Satu, back to you.
So that's all the questions we have. We still had one more, reflection. This one's got walking, sitting, and other. I'll start with the walking. I let the normal walking process occur and be as mindful as I can. At this particular moment, I can say, here, now, I am walking. I check for evidence that I'm walking, specifically the contact of my sole on the ground with every step. I can feel the rough sensation of tiles as I press firmly down. but I am unable to see other specific details about the motions of the foot. After some time, thoughts enter. The tendency is to get absorbed in them and I forget that I am walking. However, this doesn't go on forever, and after some time, I remember that I was meant to be paying attention to the foot and direct my attention back there again. I don't have any particular reaction to these thoughts.
Yeah, actually, these various, even sitting or even walking, these distractions are quite natural thing. As I said in the previous, related to the previous note, previous report, it's somewhat similar. So all these other distractions are some other activities that we can recognize. I mean, it's very much like they are inviting us to pay attention to them. But if we go after them, then we might lose our position. So that is where, I mean, we have to select. So at the beginning, the practice is very much like a kind of a selective practice. There are various possibilities are there, various phenomena are there, but among them we are using the most prominent one, most, say, easiest one, so that we can contribute to mindfulness. So don't worry, I mean, so these are all different experiences that we understand how this mind behaves. So don't think that the is only simply by keeping our attention on breath that we develop mindfulness. But when even mind distracts, we understand where our mind stands. What is the current situation of the mind? Is it heavily distracted, or is it fairly collected, or is it fairly mindful, or is it fairly unmindful? So likewise, these are sort of some understandings on our own. It's not that we are looking a book and learning. It's not that we are looking at someone and learning. It's not that we are imagining and trying to think. Rather, we experience directly, and then using this direct experience, we are learning. So this is actually the difference. So in various other subjects, we simply believe someone else has written. Someone else has done an experiment and now they are putting it to a book, and we simply believe it. But right now in this practice, we ourselves are the sort of the examiner. We ourselves as the scientist, and we are the ones doing the whole experiment. And this experiment we have to do individually. Chatu, back to you.
So there's also a sitting part. After the walking, I go straight into the sitting. At this particular moment, I can say, here, now, I am sitting. I check for evidence that I am sitting. The most prominent thing that I can feel is the sitting posture rather than the breath. I can specifically feel points of contact in my legs where they touch the ground. Like the walking, thoughts also enter. I do get absorbed in them, but again, at some point in time, I realize I have drifted off and direct my attention back to the sitting posture. I noticed over time during sitting that the points of contact in my body become less prominent, or I could say harder to distinguish when compared to the start of the sitting session.
Yeah, now, I mean, this knowing that right now I can't figure out whether it is in breath, whether it is out breath, whether it is inhale, or sorry, the rising, whether it is falling. So these are in a way kind of refinements happening to our perception. Say for example, at the beginning, as you said in this report, so there are various sensations. I can clearly recognize, okay, this is a little pain. This is a little comfort. This is a little happiness. This is a kind of a sensation. This is kind of a stiffness. This is kind of a hardness. So likewise, we can clearly recognize various sensations. But as we move forward, probably we come across certain situations where we can't specifically mention, okay, whether this is a happy feeling or painful feeling, whether this is an inhale or an exhale, whether this is a rising or a falling. So these are possibilities. Don't worry about that. So it is not that, don't think that the throughout your practice, the all these phenomena appears distinctly, where you can quickly recognize this is in-breath or this is out-breath. You can quickly recognize this is in, rising and this is falling. But as you progress, there is a situation, a kind of refinement happens, where the mindfulness refines. And there are these subtle breaths, subtle rising and falling can happen. And on such situation, it's very difficult to recognize whether it is an in-breath or out-breath, whether it is a in rising or falling, whether it is stiffness or hardness or softness or any of these things. So this is quite all right. Don't think that you have lost your mindfulness. Rather, this is a kind of a refinement happens in your practice. So you simply have to continue. And one challenge on such situation is that you might lose your mindfulness because the prominence of the object is losing. I think you got the point. Say, for example, when the breathing is gross, it is easy to be mindful. But when breathing becomes very refined, it's a little difficult to be mindful. So now it is a little challenging because the object is very subtle and there are various other distractions possible. At the same time, without going for those distractions, you are simply trying to keep your attention on this very subtle breath. It's a kind of a challenge. And you have to be successful again and again by bringing your attention to this subtle breath rather than allowing it to fall asleep or allowing it to distract to various other gross sensations. So back to you, Chatu.
So Bhante, this is probably the last question we have. It's the continuation of that one. So this is a reflection about mindfulness in day-to-day activities. I try to be mindful about activities in my daily life. For example, when I'm eating and when I'm brushing my teeth. Sometimes I'm not sure exactly where I should pay attention to, as there are a lot more things that are going on and they are not as repeatable as the walking and sitting sessions. I also find myself constantly future planning or daydreaming during daily activities.
Yeah, this is the common thing because we all like to dream. And so don't worry about it. But once you know that, I mean, no point, I am daydreaming, I am imagining, mind is not in the, on where I want. So all these are sort of revealing ourselves. And once you know that, one option is coming back to your posture. If you are sitting, come back to yourself. If you are walking, come back to walking. It may not be very refined walking session. Suppose you are simply walking towards the shop. You can't do whole walking practice while this whole process. Rather, you can simply take your attention to the posture. So now simply there are various other things available, distractions available. Rather than allowing mind to distract to various other things, now you are coming back to yourself. The body is moving, body is walking. And simply recognizing that, simply acknowledging that the body is walking. So likewise, time to time, as much as possible, you have to ground yourself. You have to earth yourself. That will actually cut off the vicious cycle. Because if you allow the mind to be unmindful, then it will take you for a ride. That is the sort of the danger. So once you know that danger, then as much as possible, we are trying to use whatever the technique to ground ourselves, to earth ourselves, to come back home, to establish mindfulness. So what you have experienced is quite normal. and recognizing this kind of a danger is there, my mind is not yet mindful enough, is kind of a good understanding. And now you are put forth, now you got to put forth effort, and then slowly you have to develop further mindfulness. And then there are situations, even when mind goes to other various activities, other distractions, still you can be unshakable. So even such kind of possibilities are there. So don't worry about, currently what's going on. Simply come back to yourself. Simply again and again, establish mindfulness. Okay, I think Chatu mentioned that is the last report. So I don't know whether there are any questions from anyone else. Is there any person raise their hand? So maybe Chamila can give us if there is any other question if someone wants to ask.
I don't have anyone raise their hand yet, and there's nothing on the chat either. So if anyone wants to ask any questions. We got 1 minute. Yes, there is a question. There's a question on the chat. Do you want me to read that out?
Yeah, better read, no? Yes.
Chatu, you want to read that?
Okay, I'll read. Bhante, during day-to-day activities, you mentioned focusing on posture as one way to ground ourselves. Do you have any other suggestions?
Certainly. Suppose you are sweeping the garden. At that time, coming back to the posture is one option. But on the other hand, you can feel how the broom is touching the ground, how the grip of your hands being felt, and how your attention being in this whole activity, and maybe how the leaves are being collected. Now we are in this current process. Now, say for example, since this sweeping is a very ordinary activity, we are typically planning something very complex and do the sweeping. So this is an extremely unmindful situation. We may be planning how I am going to solve a problem, how I am going to design a program, how I am going to buy groceries to the home, how I am going to work out some problem at my office. So there are various other interesting things that we might have to think. But the body is right now sweeping. So this is something that we have to avoid. In the mindful day-to-day activities, what we are trying to do is, irrespective of the activity, it may be an extremely ordinary activity or maybe an extremely interesting activity. But we have to keep our attention on the present activity. As I said, right now, if I am sweeping, simply take your attention to this sweeping. In this whole process, there are many areas where you can establish, you can keep your attention. As I said, maybe the grip of the broom, maybe how the leaves are being collected, maybe how your soles are touching the ground. And likewise, there are various, and maybe even the sounds coming out of this sweeping. So these are like different possibilities where you can establish mindfulness. So likewise, suppose now you are brushing the teeth. Now how say you are putting some toothpaste to the brush, and how you are bringing the brush to the mouth, and how what you feel immediately once you taste the toothpaste, and how again and again you are moving the brush on your teeth. So likewise, there are different little activities involved in this whole process. And these are the ways that helping us to live in the present moment. It's not a difficult practice. What happens is, we constantly forget it. Because it is so ordinary. Extremely ordinary. It is extremely simple. because of this ordinariness, because of this simplicity, our mind tends to distract. This is what we need to understand. And then we understand, okay, the mind has distracted. Don't blame yourself. Don't regret. Bring it back to this present, simple, ordinary activity. Again and again, we have to habituate the mind, train the mind to come back to ourselves, to come back to this ongoing, very ordinary process, and that will help us to ground well.
Vante, I think that's the last question we had. We had one from Maheshi. Where can we find previous guided meditation recordings? So we'll send a link, an email with those recordings. Saranga, I just put one there ready. I might pass back to Arunaya just to wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, before wrapping up, I think now today many have written their experiences. This is something that we can encourage because, I mean, no point of simply I am talking while you all are simply listening. Rather, if you are able to get involved in this practice, that is the most important thing. Because this is not a session simply to discuss something different, say dogmatic or philosophical things. It also can be done. But what is most important is to practically get involved in this practice. That is the most important thing. So, I mean, no point of reading so many books about meditation if we are not meditating. But rather, little things, slowly, if we put into practice, then we can taste it. Rather than writing a thesis about apple, you can simply eat an apple. Simple as that. With that note, I ask Aruna to continue.
Okay, Avasarai Bante, if there's no more questions, I think we can conclude the session today. Much merits to you, Venerable Bante, for guiding us throughout the session. You know, nowadays it's not easy to find pure Dhamma, but I believe it's the most needed thing in our world today. So our parents cannot give this to us, our government cannot give this to us. So, but I believe we all are so fortunate to have you in this session to guide us and teach us the pure Dhamma path. So on behalf of the whole group and with utmost respect and with all the merits we gave, we wish you good health and long life and may you attain Nibbana in this very life, Bhante.
I too wish you all peaceful living because during these days we can't go outside. But still we can go inside. So try to go inside since we can't go outside. Thank you very much for joining.
Everyone's on my.